Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host, Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Sharon Overend. Each week at this time, we visit with an author from our region. We introduce you to their work, get a glimpse perhaps into their lives, and ask them what prompts them to write. Today, we're very pleased to welcome Sharon. Sharon Overend is an emerging author who grew up in Toronto's East End. Her short stories have appeared in Surfacing and Descant, as well as the 2014 Writers' Community of Durham Region's short story anthology, Renaissance. In 2012, she received a certificate in creative writing from the University of Toronto Continuing Studies. In 2010, she won the Random House Student Award, and in 2011 was named the finalist for the same award. In 2014, her short story, Step Away, was nominated for a Journey Prize. Sharon is a board member of the writing community of Durham Region and is currently working with her literary agent to get her first novel shipshape. Sharon lives in Ajax and, when not hammering out stories, blogs about her writing journey. She's with us today because she's the winner of Word Northumberland's first contest for a short story or poem. Her winning story for Word Northumberland, an event held in October 2014, and one of the projects undertaken by our Spirit of the Hills writers group, will be published in Hill Spirits 2, an anthology by writers from Northumberland County, released this spring by Blue Denim Press. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you for having me.
Let's begin by talking about the story that was entered in Word Northumberland, Tiny Pieces. Where did the inspiration for this story come?
Well, several years ago, some workshop facilitators, held a workshop on friendship. And they asked the participants before the workshop to bring photos and trinkets, etc., that might spark some ideas around friendship. And I did that, and a photo that I had brought with me all of a sudden started to bring up a friendship that I had had as a teenager into my early 20s. And then each subsequent exercise, she showed up again. So I thought maybe this is a friendship I need to explore and go back and have a look at. So I used the photo and just started writing from there.
So the story is about a friend that really was a friend in your life.
She was, yeah.
So does that mean that the story, Tiny Pieces, is autobiographical?
It is at the beginning. And then as you read the story, you'll realize pretty quickly where it stops being autobiographical. But the loss that I felt in that friendship when it ended was real, for sure.
The point of view in this story is interesting. Can you tell us about that point of view and why you structured it that way?
I think because I had the photo in front of me, I felt like I was speaking to that friendship and to that friend. So it started to come out in second person. But it isn't second person in the purest form because the narrator in first person shows up through the story. But I think because it's such an intimate POV and it was a story that I was telling or retelling to and about a particular friend, it just, as it went on, it just felt like it was the right POV. I don't think it's a POV that you want to use for a long piece, like a novel. It can get a little tiresome. Mm-hmm. But for the short story format, it felt like it was going to work. So I just stretched it and kept on going with it.
Yeah. So in the you that is referred to when you're writing then is the friend.
The friend. Yeah. Now I name other people in the story, but I intentionally did not name the narrator or the friend. So it was I and you or me and you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Perhaps you could read to us from Tiny Pieces.
I would love to. The photo slideshow is kind of cool, maybe a bit cheesy, but not too over the top. It'll get people going for sure. It's crazy quiet in here. The sickly sweetness of too many cut flowers suffocates oxygen from the room. I hate that smell. Oh my God, look at how young we were. In this one, you're getting married, and I've just found out I was pregnant. Lori, your new best friend, is standing between us in the photo. You asked her to be your maid of honor. Someone talked you into a perm and an updo. It wasn't me. Donna and Jackie are to your right. Jackie was your friend. We never really got a chance to know each other because you hogged her. I don't think we would have been friends anyway, so I didn't care that you hogged her. Everyone has their arm around someone, everyone but you. You're front and center, hands clasped together, smiling a wide, toothy, say cheese kind of smile. Your dress isn't how I imagined it would look. It's white satin, but with long sleeves and a high collar that covers you like a Puritan bride. Donna has a dumb, I'm so in love grin on her face. She's brought her new boyfriend with her. I think he was the one to take this picture. Theirs is the next wedding we go to. Last I heard, she lives in Burlington and has three kids. It's weird that all of us had three kids, two boys and a girl each. You, me, Donna, Lori, Jackie, even our high school pal Colleen. But you think she only had two. I know she had three and that she gave the first one away. We met when we were 14, grade 9, all-girls school, homeroom B17. I was shy, too tall, ridiculously skinny, with poofy, wild, mousy-colored hair. You were outgoing, petite, poker-straight, chestnut-brown hair that fell all the way to your bum, and with Dolly Parton-sized boobs, a total knockout. We were both from broken homes. Remember when we used to hang out in my bedroom, me on the bed, you on a sofa, cushions lined along the floor, surrounded by a dozen pictures of Rod Stewart taped to my walls? We'd eat whole boxes of graham crackers and drink gallons of tea. Teenage tea grannies, my mum called us. While Rod crooned Tonight's the Night, we wondered what our future husbands were doing at precisely that moment, and who our future children would look like. After high school, we went to college together. I wanted to study journalism, and you didn't know what you wanted, so you took journalism as well. You cried when I told you Larry and I had gone all the way. Here's another one of us poised on our bikes, identical red 10 speeds we bought with your mum's Eaton's employee discount. Neither of us is wearing a helmet. I'll never forget the time you got doored on Bloor Street and were knocked into a live lane. Like an arrow aimed at a bullseye, I tore back to you and the apologetic driver. As I screamed, images of what could have happened to you blasted through my mind. I thought my head would explode and I could have killed him with my bare hands. You pulled me away saying you were fine, that it hadn't been his fault entirely, that you should have been more careful passing a row of parked cars. People are talking outside in the hall. Dinner break is over. The double doors open. The sun has slipped halfway down the sky and is now at the perfect angle to splash sunlight into the room. With friends and family filling the doorway, the light sways in thin slivers over their shoulders as it dances the length of the room, stopping when it reaches me. Everyone lowers their voices to church soft. Here come the Houstons and the Kirbys, the old gang from the cottage. They crowd into the corner nearest the door. Bob and Kurt, beach ball bellies and bald spots crowning their heads, look so awkward in their freshly ironed dress shirts and slightly too tight suits. Bob's face has taken on the broken vein look of someone who's played too hard. We partied a lot back then. Some never really stopped. The guys turn their back to the front and to me. There have been big changes up at the cottage. You would hardly recognize the old place. My mum replaced the ratty red and white wooden clapboard siding with peel, scratch, and dent-resistant champagne beige vinyl. Ray, my husband, you'd have liked him if you had let yourself get to know him, built a sun deck at the water and a sunscreened gazebo on the front porch. No one snowmobiles anymore, not since Big John was killed on a trail ride back in the early 90s. Still smells the same, though. Cedars, rich soil, last year's decaying leaves, and the weedy lake. Remember Friday nights getting ready to go up north? We'd be so excited to meet up with the boys, both of us fussing in front of the mirror, putting on makeup, and you straightening the kinks out of my hair. Here's a picture of us on a cloudless summer day, two teenage girls sharing a banana popsicle on a floating dock, the sun tattooing bikini imprints onto our skin. Remember coming home, exhausted from the weekend, how we'd crash in the back of my mum's station wagon? We were asleep, curled into each other before the car reached the highway. I remember how shocked I was the first time we traveled home and you laid your head on my shoulder. You fell asleep, like that, no awkwardness, trusting so easily in our new friendship.
Well, thank you. And there's quite a lot of photos referred to there. Is that a good way to come at a story, do you think?
I certainly find that it does. I like taking pictures myself anyway, so sometimes when I'm stuck for a story idea, I do. I pull out my photos and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, thanks. And now we'll take a short break.